This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome into another edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. The regular season finale. Bruins in action this afternoon to finish out their regular campaign and get ready for the playoffs. One more game to get through before the Bruins and Maple Leafs get underway this week. Ryan Johnston here in the Town Fair Tire Studios to take your phone calls at 617-779-0985. We are joined over at the Garden as well by Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning, Ryan.
It's going to feel like a playoff Saturday out there outside today. I'm not sure what it's going to feel like inside because neither of these teams have anything to play for, but it's getting to be that time of year. What do you expect the game to look like today? Is this going to be two teams just trying to get through it? I would expect that some of these guys on both sides are going to be sitting today. What do you think the atmosphere is going to be like on that rink today, considering what could lie ahead for both of these teams, but also that there's not a whole lot left to be said about the regular season for each of these teams?
Well, let's start with the lineup this morning. Torrey Krug, Brandon Carlo skating alongside. Now, Chris Wagner was not expected to play today, but he is out here skating, as is Sean Corrali, not skating with a stick at last check. John Moore is also out here, so I think you're getting an idea of what the lineup may or may not look like. You're going to see probably Zdeno Chara and Charlie McAvoy come back in. But I think for both of these teams, I think what they want to do is, similar to the Bruins' effort the other night in Minnesota, maintain good habits, maintain your structure, play across 60 minutes, take a step forward, and then start focusing on Toronto.
Yeah, no real surprises with the lineup, right, with these guys out skating right now. You sat out McAvoy and Chara last game. You want to get some rest for those guys. They'll be back in the lineup today. You want to get a little bit of rest for Brandon Carlo and Torrey Krug, and barring a catastrophe between now and opening day or first playoff game, it looks like Brandon Carlo will make his playoff debut this season because he hasn't been able to be healthy for the last couple of them. So that's great news for the Bruins on that back end, and the fact that they were able to rest some guys. I would imagine that there'll also be a couple of forwards that aren't out skating right now that probably just have the entire day off, and those are the guys that have towed a pretty heavy load this year. I don't know if Bergeron will get the day off today. My guess is that he would, but and then we'll see who else maybe sits, if somebody's nursing some kind of injury or a little banged up. That's what Wagner's situation. So opportunity again for a couple guys that played last game, including Zach Senishin scoring his first goal, which is great to see. And Kuhlman continues to impress. So opportunities again for them to play out the string here for the Bruins.
I want to go back to Carlo. I don't know if that can be actually understated how important it will be for the Bruins to have him on the ice for the first time in the playoffs, because now you're going to have pairs where you can throw out McAvoy on one pair, you're going to throw out Brandon Carlo on another pair, along with Zdeno Chara, and my guess is Torrey Krug. So every time you're going to have a guy that has the ability to shut down the opponent on the ice. Both of those guys have played exceptionally well. I think the other thing with Charlie McAvoy that you have to remember is he wasn't working his way back from a knee injury that he experienced late last season. And he had talked about it while we were on this recent road trip, that it took him a while to find his game. It was probably until late in the series against the Maple Leafs where he felt his best. And for Brandon Carlo, because Bob was pointing out these numbers the other day, the way that he has played in his own zone, his ability to shut down opponents, to block shots, to finish checks, to control the front of the net, and then transition the puck, that's going to be enormous for the Bruins heading forward.
Yeah, and we've talked about him at times during the course of this year, guys, that Carlo has really kind of taken his game to another level now. That, he Disappointing ends with the injuries, obviously, in previous seasons and not being able to be in the playoffs. But also, you know, he's really kind of matured as a player. And we've seen him continue to take those steps forward. And so now that he's finally going to get this opportunity, obviously, you feel great for him. But also, he's a better player than he would have been in either of those previous years.
Yeah, he is. I was looking at it the other day. If you know, for whatever you value stats, if you value him at all, you know, you just look at, you know, for a defenseman, you know, shot blocks and hits for him. He leads all Bruins defensemen in hits this year. You know, of course, Kevin Miller had been injured for a good portion, but at the same time, he leads everybody in block shots. So, I mean, he's a valuable part of this team right now, and his ability to skate, his ability to get back for pucks, his ability to, you know, to recover quickly because of his skating ability is going to be valuable against Toronto. Toronto's a team that can move. They can skate. They've got a lot of pace. And, you know, they'll come at you hard, especially offensively. And, you know, Carlo's ability to defend, his ability to be physical in the corner and in front of the net is going to be really important for this team. And to have that, you know, quickness to get back for pucks and make that good read to get the puck out of the zone, that's all going to be important. The less time you can spend in your zone against this Toronto team, the better. And, you know, the Bruins know that. So it looks like, you know, the way that it sets up, you know, one, you know, you say shutdown guy, Judd, but also you got puck movers on every group as well.
This week is what it is. I mean, the Bruins get on Tuesday night, they clinch the home ice advantage in the first round, so they didn't have much to play for on Thursday night. They took care of business, got a 3-0 win on the road. But that game against Columbus on Tuesday, you know, Boston had lost a couple in a row going into that game. Columbus is fighting to get into the playoffs. And I was really impressed by the Bruins' performance in that game against a team that had everything to play for. They really came out strong in that game and never let up. And, you know, that's the kind of performance that in the last week of the season where, you know, your last really meaningful game of the regular season, as it turned out, you needed to see out of that team at that point, having lost to a couple of teams that aren't going to be around in the postseason back-to-back last weekend. What did you think of that performance in particular this week?
Well, the narrative coming in was that Bruce Cassidy was hoping that playing a team like Columbus that had something on the line, it's not easy sometimes to play non-playoff teams, and the style that the Blue Jackets play would hopefully bring the best out of the Bruins. And ultimately it did, but it did take some key saves from Tuukka Rask at the start of the game, and that was another key that I think Bob had referenced at the start. Okay, what is your goaltending going to look like here? Which, you know, I think along with the team, across maybe a 2 or 3 week span, overall the Bruins were playing about .500 hockey. I think they needed to see more in a bunch of different areas. But for Tuukka Rask, he made two crucial saves on Cam Atkinson in one sequence. Ryan Dzingel, he stopped in another. I think it was Josh Anderson that was flying up. And then all of a sudden, with about 12, at about the 8-minute mark of the first period, then the Bruins started to get their structure back. And as John Tortorella talked about, they fed us our lunch. So that was a good sign for the Bruins to get back to the form that they had played for the bulk of the season.
All right, we start there. We'll get to your calls coming up, 617-779-0985. Obviously, today we'll look forward toward that series against Toronto, which gets underway this week. We'll talk a little bit about what the lineups may look like. We'll talk a little bit about the regular season as a whole and what we have seen from this team so far. And you can weigh in on any or all of it throughout the course of the 2 hours today. We've got Judd and Bob over at the Garden, me here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show on a Saturday morning.
This is the Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, and Bob Beers on the home of the Bees, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning. Brian Johnston over at TD Garden, Judd Surratt and Bob Beers, who will call the regular season finale for the Bruins and Lightning today. Joining us, and your phone calls welcome, 617-779-0985. Let's start with Maria in Watertown. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is my most favorite time of the year. I feel like a kid on Christmas morning. I just want to fast forward to Wednesday and drop the puck on these playoffs. And I want to commend the Boston Bruins because for the first time in a handful of seasons, they controlled their own destiny. And it's so refreshing to be able to just watch these games knowing your spot is cemented in, you have home ice, guys are healthy. And from my perspective, too, these playoffs are huge for Tuukka Rask as well. I would like nothing better than to see him shine for this team and have all the naysayers finally be quiet once and for all. And just my condolences to the Montreal Canadiens.
Yes. Hey, pour one out for the for our friends up in Montreal. They will be watching at home this year.
It's it's phenomenal. And when you look at the standings, other than the Tampa Bay Lightning, and you look at the teams that are in the playoffs, anybody can win this Stanley Cup. And if I'm the Boston Bruins, you know, I'm saying to myself, why not us? You know, why not us? And I think they are poised to make a deep run. I'm not going to say that they're going to win it, but my expectation is if everybody stays healthy on the back end and, you know, Tuukka does perform at an elite level that I think we all know he can, my expectation is for this team to be in it for a particularly long period of time. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I think it's anyone's ball game at this point.
All right. Appreciate the call, Maria. I mean, look, I think there's a lot of reason for optimism around this team, knowing what lies ahead. And you have, you know, what would be considered the most difficult road of anything, you know, of any division in the playoffs right now. But you know, they've done everything that they can essentially during the course of this season to put themselves in as good of a position as they possibly can. And now it's just a matter of, you know, of trying to beat the teams that they've got in front of them. But getting back to her discussion on Tuukka Rask, guys, we see him on Tuesday night against Columbus. Judd, you mentioned he came up with some really key saves early on in that game. And you know, we've talked about the amount of rest that he's gotten this year, and he's, you know, basically split time with Halak throughout the course of this season. And he's, if there's ever going to be a year where he should have it when it comes to the playoffs, you would think that this would be it. What are your feelings about Tuukka as we get ready to embark on another playoff run with him between the pipes?
Same as every year, to be honest with you, Ryan. I mean, every year is a little bit different. Every year, you know, the expectations are going to be high. I mean, you know, where he sits, you know, salary-wise, what he's accomplished throughout his career. He's the all-time winningest goaltender in Bruins history. You know, there's a lot that he has accomplished. And now, you know, taking it to another level when the playoffs start is something that, you know, you hope that he's able to do. And, you know, I thought last year against Toronto, he was just fair. You know, good enough, obviously, but just he was good in certain situations, but needed him to be a little bit better. I thought he was very good against Tampa. I thought mm-hmm. he stole, you know, or he gave them a chance to win. Let's put it that way. And he stole maybe one of the he gave him a chance to win just about every night. So, I mean, and that you're playing against the top scoring teams in the league here. It's not like you're playing, no disrespect to the Islanders, who are a great defending team, but they don't score a whole lot either. So, you know, it's a whole different animal. And I think for Tuukka Rask, I mean, it's there. The ability is there. He's got a good team in front of him, a very good team in front of him. You know, can he put it together at the right time, you know, and make this run? And, you know, you look at the matchups that they have, and, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about the playoffs and should they change? Should they change the way that the playoff format goes? I know that some players have indicated that, but the Players Association and the league, it was reported the other day, have agreed to continue this playoff structure at least through next season. So it's not going away anytime soon here. And the Bruins have, you know, are they favored against Toronto? I think that they will be if they're not already. Does it guarantee them anything? Nope. will they be favored against Tampa if they get that far? You know, no, they won't. And does that guarantee that they'll lose? No. So, you know, the variables, there's so many variables that go along with it, and the goaltender is really important, one of the top variables that go along with it. And he has to outplay Frederik Andersen. That's what he has to do. And I think that that's the bottom line, though, Ryan, when you look at it. You want to see him play great. He has to outplay the goaltender at the other end of the ice. And you know, no matter how you get the job done, you know, no matter how you get through a series, you know, you might allow a bunch of goals. You know, it just might be a great offensive series for an opposing team. But just get the job done. And that's what he did last year.
A lot can happen when the playoffs hit. And it takes a lot of different factors in order to win the Cup. Absolutely, you need your goaltender to hopefully be at his best. You need to be able to defend. You need some bounces and breaks. You need to be healthy. The matchups have to be right. But just thinking about the Tampa Bay Lightning, so today they have an opportunity to tie the Detroit Red Wings for the NHL record with 62 wins. Do you remember how that Red Wings team finished?
No.
Anybody? They lost in the conference finals to the eventual Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche. So a lot of stuff can happen, but with all due respect to the Tampa Bay Lightning, they have had a phenomenal season. They are a terrific team overall. But once the playoffs hit, a lot of things are going to change.
Yeah, you know, it as you look at the season that Tampa Bay has had, you know, the consistency level has been there. That's the thing that kind of scares you about them too, right?
Let's start off right here.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, Victor Hedman is not going to play today. He's missed the last couple of games. The Lightning won't officially say it. The conjecture is down in Tampa that he has a concussion. He's had a couple documented during his career. I think the first one that he had, he only missed a short amount of time. The second one he had, he missed a month. So when he ultimately gets back on the ice for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and hopefully he's okay, how is he going to play, and how does that impact the team? There was a quote I read the other day in The Athletic from John Cooper. He said, "Our team goes as Heady goes, Victor Hedman." So if he's not right when the playoffs hit, how does that impact their fortunes as they head forward?
Well, not only that, but just, you know, look, we all know, we've seen it happen many times, that when you get into the playoffs, it's the old war of attrition, right? And guys are going to go down as things go. You never know going in, and it's what makes the NFL play or the NHL playoffs so great, is that there are upsets, there are battles that you didn't expect. There are guys get hurt and it totally changes the dynamic of a series. A goalie gives up a couple of bad goals and suddenly it totally changes things. There are so many things that go into a playoff series that, you know, as we were talking about earlier, look, the Bruins have put themselves into as good a spot as they can possibly get, but now it's just, you know, can they play with everybody? Yeah, they can. Are they going to be favored against everybody? No, but they can play with everybody in the league right now. They can go toe-to-toe with a team, I believe, for, you know, in a seven-game series, regardless of who that team is, including Tampa, and that's all you can ask for at this point. 617-779-0985. Derek is in Boston. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Huge fan. This is for all the Boston fans that have been calling about the playoff system. I want to say I hate the new system. I hate the playoff system. But if the Bruins went back to the old system, the Bruins would be the 3 seed as a non-division point system. They'd be playing Pittsburgh in the first round. And then they'd probably be playing Washington in the second round. So my question is what's worse, playing Toronto and then Tampa, or playing Pittsburgh and then Washington? I'd rather play Toronto and then Tampa. I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the call, Derek. I mean, it is a legitimate point. I mean, it's not like, regardless of how you slice it, it's not like you're going to get an easy road to the Eastern Conference Final. You're going to be playing some pretty good teams along the way. It's just that system would have you avoid Tampa Bay potentially until the Eastern Conference Final and hope for the best in that regard. But it doesn't really change your ability to get to the Stanley Cup Final, right? You still have to go through good teams one way or the other.
I'm a fan of, you know, and I'll take that a step further. If you wanted to alter it to go back to, you really want to go back, And they're talking about trying to develop the rivalries, right? So play more divisional games during the season against your division, and then have to play out of your division. You know what I mean? So it would be, well, I guess Montreal would be fourth place, right? So it would be Tampa, Montreal, and it would be Boston and Toronto. But that's, you know, it used to be that way, trying to play out of your division, when we played Montreal all the time, when we played, you know, the Buffalo Sabres all the time, the Hartford Whalers all the time. So that was trying to get out of the Adams division. And So I was a fan of that. I mean, so then it evolved into 1 versus 8, you know, 2 versus 7, and so on and so forth. You know, and then now it's evolved into this. So it's been different throughout the years. Like I said, though, they are going to keep this for at least one more year, and that was agreed upon between the NHL and NHLPA. I don't know who reported it. I'm not sure, but it was reported the other day where I read it.
See, and my expectation becomes that once they get the 32nd team in, they probably go back to closer to what you're talking about, Bob. That, you know, at that point, everything's equal. Everybody will have 8 teams in their division, and, you know, you can do a simple top 4 in each division, make the playoffs, and play out of your division and go from there. It's the unbalance, I think, that's causing some of the problems they've got.
Well, it is, but they also want to have everybody play so every Western team visit your building
right.
once a year, you know, and so that, you know, you have to have a set amount of games for that set aside. So that lessens the amount of games that you play within your division, especially if you're playing the other, you know, the Metro, if you're playing them 3 times a season, which you do. So I don't know what the formula is going to look like next year, but somewhere, you know, you're going to get a couple of games reduced somewhere because you're going to have to play 2 more against Seattle when they finally do get into the league a couple years from now.
All right, we'll continue here with the guys over at the Garden this morning. We'll take more of your calls coming up, 617-779-0985. And Joe Haggerty will join us coming up as well as we continue here on the regular season finale of the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey.
He scores!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beers. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Judd Sirot, Bob Beers over at TD Garden. And now we also welcome in Joe Haggerty, who joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, as he does each week. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
What provides you with the most optimism about the Bruins' playoff chances now that we've seen them play 81 times this year?
Well, I mean, I think the strengths, the goaltending that's been pretty consistent throughout the season and been outstanding, the depth they have there that they've, you know, never really had before, the top line, if they do choose to put them together, or even if they don't, just having those 3, you know, explosive players that I'm sure will play together at points during the playoffs, and the fact that, you know, any team is going to consistently have a hard time holding them down, the strength of the power play, and, you know, the way they've played in the second half of the year, the way they've overcome adversity. I think there's a lot of different things that encourage you and make you think that they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. You know, they certainly have their weaknesses too, and there are things that they're going to have to overcome, but you know, for a number of teams, I think they're going to be a really difficult draw, including Toronto in the first round. I think that's going to be a pretty even series. But similar to last year, I think you're going to see the Maple Leafs have a lot of trouble with the Bruins and things that they can do in the first round.
If you're Bruce Cassidy, what keeps you up at night as you get ready to open up the playoffs? Is there anything on this team that you look at as a weakness that you'd be worried about going into the postseason?
Well, I think health is going to keep every coach up at night, but certainly with the Bruins, it seems like that's been a problem for them all year. And, you know, you would expect it's not going to all of a sudden reverse itself in the playoffs, and they're going to be, you know, incredibly healthy throughout. And, you know, you get the scare the other night with Kevin Miller, and it's a reminder how quickly things can change, and all of a sudden you're kind of scrambling. They do have very good depth, and you've seen some players step up and fill in when guys are out. And I really liked the game of Connor Clifton since he's come up. And, you know, that really helps you defensively to have another guy with Miller a little banged up and John Moore certainly banged up that can come in and do the job. And certainly looks like he's not going to get overwhelmed if you're into a playoff situation. So, you know, the injury thing is definitely one. And you go back to what I think we've seen all year, which is just the consistency as far as getting scoring all throughout your lineup, getting more offense out of the third line is going to be a huge thing for the Bruins against better teams in the playoffs. And it's going to be necessary against if you play Tampa Bay in the second round. You're going to have to get
offense kicked in from all your lines, and you're going to have to be operating at full power offensively to do that. And that really hasn't been the case all year. We've seen it in spots, and we've seen it, you know, especially lately. I think Charlie Coyle has played really well, and if he can play consistently at that level in the playoffs, I think you're onto something, and you're going to start to see that a little bit more. But I think you got to see it in the postseason before you really believe it. It's going to be there every single night, or at least when you need it. So I think that the depth of their forward group and getting offense from everybody is certainly one. And, you know, just for me personally, and I know a lot of people are sold on him, and a lot of people just point to the career save percentage in the playoffs and say, you know, this guy's fantastic and he's not a question mark. But in the big moments in those postseason games when they really need him, a la Game 7 last year against Toronto, and I know they won that game and they advanced, but Tuukka Rask was not good in that game, and I know Freddie Anderson wasn't either. But I really want to see Tuukka Rask in a situation like that in the playoffs really step up and win a pivotal game for them like that in a series. And, you know, everybody starts to believe that he's a big-game goaltender and that he's got some kind of advantage there. I don't know if that's the case right now. So I think that's something else you want to see in this playoff run. If the Bruins are going to go far, if they're going to surprise teams, if they're going to advance deep into the playoffs, Tuukka Rask has to be one of their best players every single night, and they're just going to have that.
All things, or everyone being healthy or at least reasonably healthy going into the playoffs, and there's a couple of notables in there. You mentioned Moore, and obviously there's the Corrali injury. But with what they've got right now, what do you think the best lineup looks like for this team against Toronto?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously I'm a big proponent of the Pasternak with Marchand and Bergeron. I just think that's something that, you know, if you can get enough offense from the other lines that allows you to keep that line together, it's just something that other teams are going to have a handful with. Any team that you play is going to have a real hard time consistently holding them down. We have something like that that another team has to worry about, really game plan about, and keep them up at night. I think you go to that rather than go away from it. But the whole trick is, you know, you've got to get more from the other lines. Carson Kuhlman's been outstanding lately, had some really good games. I don't know that he's necessarily going to be in the playoff lineup, but I think it gives you options as far as guys that you can put in, guys that you can think about playing. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see what they go with as far as, you know, on the right wing with Krejci and DeBrusk, what they go with as far as the third line. I think the fact that there are a lot of different options is a good thing for Bruce Cassidy, and it gives him, you know, places he can go. The fourth line that they've put in there recently obviously has been really good, and you're going to have to mix and match because Corrali's out of the lineup, but I think Achari is another one that's in the last few weeks, months, been outstanding. He's, you know, kicked in offensively. He's brought energy every single night. And, you know, maybe he can really hold that fourth line together until Corrali gets back and continue to make that a strength, you know, whether it's Backes and Nordstrom with them or you put somebody else in there. But, you know, you're going to have guys step up with the injuries. And I think we're going to see that at least in the first round.
We talked early on in the show today about Brandon Carlo. It looks like he's finally going to get to make his playoff debut.
You're not jinx him, Ryan.
Sounds like he's not going to play today. So hopefully, you know, all is well between now and the start of of the first round. And, you know,
hopefully he doesn't trip and fall going for the popcorn on the ninth floor today. Like, you know, a double wrap and make sure he's okay.
It doesn't slip coming out of a you know, some sort of a function or something like that. All will be well. How big of a difference do you think he makes, especially given some of the injuries that the Bruins have had to deal with defensively in the last couple of seasons in the postseason?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting, right? Because this will be his first playoff experience, and I'm sure there'll be some, you know, bumps in the road, and there'll be some adjustments and some growing pains, just as with every young player when they experience the intensity and the elevated play in the playoffs for the first time. It is different than the regular season, and I think he's going to have to, you know, come to grips with that rather quickly because he's going to play a big role to start off with. But, you know, given how his game has grown, given that you're seeing him with a little more confidence at times offensively, I think he's, you know, grown into becoming more physical and a little more nasty in the defensive zone at times. You'd still love to see it even more and more, but I think you're starting to see that physicality and that ruggedness in the D zone more that's,
you know, fits a guy of his size and strength. As you start to see all of those things out of his game, I think he becomes a bigger factor in the playoffs. And you're going to have to see him play even nastier in the defensive zone in the postseason. But, you know, they clearly missed him last year, and they really could have used him if he were healthy. And I think he's going to be a giant factor. You need, in the playoffs, guys that are 6'4", 6'5", with size, that can skate, that can, you know, handle themselves in the D zone, that can battle in the battle areas and win, all of that stuff. You need as many of those guys as you can in the back end, especially if you've got places where you're injured or banged up a little bit. You know, Kevin Miller's missed half of the season, basically, with injuries this year, so you're going to need somebody else that has that size and strength that's able to play in the D zone if he does get banged up again. So I think he plays a huge role, and I think he's one of those guys that could really be a difference maker if he really taps into the things that are going to make him, they're going to be strengths for him as a shutdown defender. And he just needs to continue to find that and consistently be there. You know, somebody needs to get in there in the dressing room, I think, and just piss him off and make him angry before every single game. He's such a good-natured kid. Sometimes it takes him a little while to get there. You'd love to see somebody just, you know, take it upon themselves to make sure they rile him up before every single playoff game.
Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you during the playoffs.
Thanks, boys. Yeah.
He joins us, of course, on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We got Judd and Bob over at TD Garden. We'll continue with them coming up next as the Sports Hub Hockey Show rolls on here on a Saturday morning.
Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If you want to join us here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show, Ryan Johnston joined by Judd Surratt and Bob Beers, who are over at TD Garden this morning getting ready for another matinee Saturday afternoon to wrap up the regular season today against Tampa Bay. Guys, I'll ask you the questions that I just asked Joe Haggerty, which is, over the course of the 81 games this year, what makes you the most optimistic about this team's chances in the playoffs? And then what's that kind of nagging doubt that might be there in your mind as well?
Well, there's a lot of strengths to the team. Obviously, you don't finish where you did in the regular season and not have strengths. I like the intangibles that this team has. I mean, those are a team that you never say die. They're always in it. They very rarely get blown out in a game. They have that ability to come back in games. They have the ability to not be at their best for short, spells. Maybe it's a period here, a period there, and all of a sudden, really find their game, turn it around, and get better as it goes on. So I think some of those intangibles are good. Their leadership is excellent. They've been there. They've done that. I do believe that they're in Toronto's head a little bit, just in the sense that, Toronto's got to sit there and listen to it, day in and day out. What do you have to do to beat they're trying to say that they're stronger, they're better. And I think that some of that is true. But, they're also trying to deflect some of the criticism that they've had here, from the Bruins. So I like that part of their game. As far as personnel goes, the goaltending should be a strength, but they haven't been great lately, and they've been better the last couple games, I should say. But prior to that, they hadn't been great, and they've had a good season. The numbers are there, but at the same time, I do think that the coaching staff and the organization just wanted to see just a little bit more from them, maybe a little bit down the stretch. So that's going to be an important role for them. Health is always an issue, that was pointed out already. But that's something that if they're healthy, you really like what they're able to bring. They're hard to play against. That's another area that Toronto, if they're looking for the easy game, they're not going to get it against the Bruins. If you feel like, okay, things are getting away from you a little bit, then you've got to maybe win a game, a low-scoring game. I do think you can score against Toronto, so getting on the inside against them is going to be really important, and that's an area that the Bruins certainly can do against their defense. They did it early in the series against Toronto's defense. And at the other end, they've got to make it really difficult for players to get to the inside in Boston's D zone. So, and the Bruins have that personnel. They have the personnel to be able to do that. So matchup's important. I like a lot of what the Bruins bring. I'm not looking past the Toronto Maple Leafs at anything, but from the strengths of this team, there's a lot of things to like and what they bring against Toronto.
Well, you know, you said one of the things that we've kind of keyed on a few times this year is that, you know, they're just a hard team to play against night in and night out because they do so many things so well, and because of the effort that's always there, and you know, there's some physicality to it. There's some, you know, there's certainly some skill, and they can light up the scoreboard. They can play defense. You know, the goaltending has been solid. Like, they're just a difficult team because they, you know, there might be some weaknesses on this team, but they're not huge, glaring kind of weaknesses. Like, we look at a team like Toronto and say, you know, defensively, they've upgraded a little bit, but there's still, that's still what would be considered a considerable weakness on that team.
Look, I mean, Toronto, yeah, they have. But at the same time, you know, they added John Tavares. No question that should help them in certain areas. Mm-hmm. They added Jake Muzzin on defense. But you know what they gave up? They gave up Van Riemsdyk, who got to the front of the net against the Bruins. They gave up Tyler Bozak, who, you know, he was pretty good at taking draws in certain situations. And you know, so they did give up a little bit. You know, for Toronto, and you say hard team to play against. Yeah, the Bruins are a hard team. And if they get away from that identity, then it's going to make it for an easier series for Toronto, and that's something that can't happen. And being a hard team to play against is in a lot of different areas. It's not running guys through the glass. It's just being in their face and being tenacious and forcing them, you know, back into their own zone, forcing them to come 200 feet if they're going to be able to come at you. Tightening up in the neutral zone where they've got no room to operate, where they can't come at you with speed. You know, they'll try some of those long passes and, you know, making sure that you get out in front of those and defend those well. So just moving your feet, being tenacious when you don't have the puck, being in their face, taking away time and space, that frustrates a skilled team. And that's what, you know, being a hard team to play against, it means for me against Toronto. And there's other factors as well. You know, do you make it hard for them in the corners? Do you make it hard for them in front of the net? You know, are you physical with them in those areas? Are you making their D turn and go back and get the puck and you know, getting them back up against the glass? You know, you can finish your hits there, certainly. Certainly physicality is part of it. But the other part of it is how hard you make it for them to come 200 feet at you.
I think the Bruins are better equipped to throw a four-line rotation in the first round against Toronto, especially with the addition of a guy like Charlie Coyle.
Granted, you're going to miss Corrali.
You're going to miss mm-hmm. Corrali. Hopefully there's a chance that the Bruins can see him later at some point in the series. But again, that's still somewhat of an unknown. But for Toronto, they want to spend as little time as possible in their own zone. They want to create turnovers, and then it's a fast break offense. As soon as they get the puck, three guys are going to be blowing the zone, heading up ice. How the Bruins are able to contend with that, we're going to talk obviously a lot more about that next week when that series starts. But with the lineup that the Bruins currently feature and their ability to control the puck down low with a big guy like Charlie Coyle, the season that David Krejci has had, and remember, Krejci and DeBrusk have taken their game to a different level, and they were effective last year in that first round. They've had an even better regular season this year with the way that DeBrusk has surged, and David Krejci, again, I think it's gone under the radar how well he has played this season, hitting the 70-point mark again, and then obviously you got the most dynamic top line in the National Hockey League. I think that presents a difficult matchup for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Plus, to echo what Bob said, it's the identity of the team. It's the way they defend. And it's not just in their own zone, which is obviously key, but how they manage the puck in the offensive end and how they control the neutral zone in transition.
617-779-0985. We got another hour with Judd and Bob over at the Garden. We'll get to your calls coming up.
Press the right hand in. Let's go!
Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hour number two of The Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, joined by Judd Sirott and Bob Beers. The guys are over at TD Garden today. Bruins and Lightning wrap up the regular season coming up in a few hours. 617-779-0985. You can jump in with us as well. We've kind of been wondering, guys, about, you know, what the lineup is going to look like when the postseason gets here. Postseason's a game away. Again, we're hopeful that everybody can get through the day healthy and that the Bruins are as close to full strength as they can possibly be when the playoffs get going this week. But what do you think ideal lineup looks like for this team with the guys who are currently able to go? And this is something we've kind of been wondering, especially since Johansson came back from his injury and, you know, they've started to get some guys back. What do those lines look like in your eyes? Do you think that they've kind of settled on what their best units are?
I think that they've settled on the defense. You know, obviously with John Moore, that makes that decision a little easier. I mean, I think Clifton has done a nice job so far. You know, Camper's been here all year. He's played. He's had good spurts as well, where he's played well. So, you know, you've got your six. You know, Carlo and Krug are sitting out today's game, but you know, McAvoy, Chara, Carlo Krug, and then Grizzlick and Miller. And that doesn't mean it stays that way, but that's the way I believe that they start there. And then up front, I mean, you still have some options. And if they do want Pasternak to play alongside Bergeron and Marchand, then, you know, the question at the beginning of the year was, who's going to play right side with David Krejci? Well, where are we right now? Who's going to play right side with David Krejci? It's not Johansson. Johansson, they believe, is going to be a better look on a left wing. And they want to try to see what that Coyle Johansson combination looks like. They've had their moments here recently where they've looked pretty good. So I think they've settled on the first line and the fourth line. And then beyond that, there's still some question marks as to, you know, where guys fit best. And, you know, who's going to play right wing with Coyle and Johansson, that's still a question mark. I think who's going to play right wing with Krejci and DeBrusque is still a question mark. I'm sure that they have their thoughts, but you know, Kuhlman has done everything in his power to say, I deserve a spot on this team when the playoffs start. And he's got that in-your-face, you know, hard-driving kind of style of play. You know, Danton Heinen has had his moments this season, no question about it. You know, is he better fit on the left or the right side? Well, they need a right winger. So it's not the left side they generally need right now. It's the right side that they generally need. So there's still some questions as to where guys are going to fit best, I think, in your lineup.
Well, you kind of, yeah, I was going to ask you about Kuhlman because I think, you know, it's, we've seen pretty good things out of him so far. Has he done enough to earn a spot in the lineup when the playoffs start?
I think he's making it a hard decision. And I think one of the things that certainly helps is not only the way he has played, but the fact that he's a right stick. And it puts everybody in their proper spots.
Judd, before I forget, I should have added Wagner in there. And sure. Wagner had been playing right side with Coyle. So my mistake is he's not playing today. But Wagner will definitely be in there. It's just a matter of where. And you assume that it'll start with Coyle and Johansson. So that leaves either Heinen or Kuhlman up on the right side with David Krejci.
And again, you've got some choices if you're Bruce Cassidy. But I think, you know, he's had a chance to run through a lot of different combinations throughout the season, and certainly it's been a little bit more of the focus here down the stretch, but I think he'd like to keep his left, the guys who are left shots, who are playing the wing, I think he would like to keep them on their strong side. For Carson Kuhlman, listen, you've liked a lot of the way he's played. You love his intangibles. You love what he brings to the table. You can see how he has played a smart, simple, hardworking game. You know, it's still a relatively small sample size, and clearly the games and the intensity is going to go up exponentially when the playoffs start against the Toronto Maple Leafs. But at this point, he is making it a very hard decision for Bruce Cassidy and what he does. But also remember that the lineup is not going to be static, and what you see in Game 1, whether the Bruins are healthy or not, heading into a Game 2 against the Maple Leafs will not necessarily be what that combination looks like as the series rolls along.
Well, it might not be what the combination looks like by the end of that game, right? I mean, that's part of one of the things that Bruce Cassidy is not shy about, moving his guys around in game. If he needs to generate offense or if he needs to shorten the bench a little bit, he's not shy about that at all.
And that's good. You know, yeah. I think it's good that you bring that up, Ryan, because I think that there are some coaches that are not necessarily flexible in it, and it can change based on the way certain guys have played during the course of the game. What are the matchups at that point? Do you want to get someone up against somebody? Do you want to get someone away from somebody else? So I think that's one of the things we really have not talked about with Bruce Cassidy here down the stretch as much. His ability to manage the bench during the course of the game, I think that that will be important.
Let's go to Matt in the car. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing? I was just wondering if you put any real stock into today's game, especially where it's the Lightning. I mean, I know they're sitting some guys, but I was just curious, you know, your thoughts on game day today and the implications for the playoffs, maybe down the stretch.
I appreciate the call, Matt. I mean, we talked about this a little bit at the start of the show today, but, you know, it's an odd thing because the guys that are out there, I mean, you have to play the game. It's not like you can just, you know, go out and figure skate for an hour and be done with it. I mean, there's still a game to be played, even though there's not anything on the line. And some guys are going to sit out today. And, you know, we've kind of been learning as we go along here who some of those guys are going to be. But maybe, Bob, you can speak to this as a player. Like, you know, how do you get up for a game like this? And, you know, when there's really not a lot to play for and everything's been decided, yet you still have to be out there and go through the motions. How do you get through that? And, you know, and what kind of effort can we reasonably expect out of these two teams today?
Similar to what we saw the other day against Minnesota. I mean, you know, you're still going to put in the effort, but it's not going to be a playoff intensity game. You want to get through it. Both teams want to get through it healthy. There's you know, it's hard to go out and tell a guy, you know, don't block a shot. You know, if you're in the shooting lane, you block a shot. I mean, that's just kind of the way that you're wired. You know, certainly some of the younger guys are still trying to make an impression, so they're going to be going harder. But, you know, for some of the, you know, the veteran players, it's, you know, I think it's a final tune-up for a guy like Chara, for a guy like McAvoy. You know, they're going to want to be strong here. You know, Tuukka Rask, a final tune-up for him. You know, he didn't play last game against Minnesota. You know, Marchand gets back in the game. He's going to want to be, you know, effective. But at the same time, it's not going to be that playoff intensity. And I don't take anything from this game whatsoever when the playoffs start. No, I mean, you know, if they meet up in the second round, there's nothing from this game will be a, you know, unless something happens, you know, where somebody takes a cheap shot or something.
Right.
It has no, you know.
It's no momentum to be built off of this game or anything like that.
No. I mean, neither team is intimidated with one another, and I think that they've proven that the way that they've played against one another this season, they've been some good games. So, you know, Boston handled things on home ice against Tampa earlier. It was a really strong game for the Bruins. Tampa had the big comeback against the Bruins the last time the two teams met when the Bruins had the lead going into the third period. I don't think they, you know, And I don't think those two games had any real bearing on, you know, from a player's standpoint, anyhow, any real bearing on, you know, can we play with this team? Can we compete with this team? They both feel that they can.
You mentioned, you know, the young guys that get the opportunity here in a game like this. And maybe, you know, you get guys who are playing a little bit more ice time, guys who have been here longer who are playing a little bit more ice time than they're used to. But you also get a guy like Zach Senyshyn who... we got a first look at the other night. What did you think of his game? I mean, people have been waiting for a long time to see him make his debut at the NHL level. First look, what were your impressions?
He made a good first impression. He was active. He was around the puck. He was using his speed. He was firing pucks. And at the same time, it looked like he was trying to make a conscious effort to be responsible defensively. So it's been good. So let's see if he's in the lineup here today, and we certainly expect that that's probably going to be the case, and continue to back that up. You got to continue to do it again and again. That's what separates the good pros around the National Hockey League. I go back to a conversation that we always seem to have early in the season, that when it comes to prospects, development is not linear. It's not this constant ramp straight up. That's what you hope. I think it's certainly going to take him a little bit longer. He had actually admitted when we talked the other day, he said that first year, last year in Providence, my game was very raw. I've tried to round out my game a little bit more. It has certainly been helpful with Jay Leach and his coaching staff and some of the guys that he's had an opportunity to play with in Providence to continue to improve his game. But they want him to use his best attributes, and that is his speed. They would love to see him skate with the type of intensity and constancy that you see a guy like Carson Kuhlman. But also remember, Kuhlman's a little bit older. And I think that, remember, everybody matures at a different rate. He's a kid who just came out of junior. He just recently turned 22 years old. So this is experience that he needs to be able to pick up. And when it comes to prospects, if you can, take your time, and hopefully you'll bring out the best in him.
Yeah, he's raw. He's very raw. I mean, he's fast, and he's strong. And he got away with that a lot against junior players. He was faster than most guys. He was stronger than most guys. And that's why he put up a lot of goals. I don't think he's a gifted goal scorer, but he's somebody that can create because he's got that size and the speed. And, you know, now does he know how to play the game? And that's something that's been, you know, kind of drilled into him. Now, it's a small sample size for me. I thought he made a good first impression. There's certainly, you know, it's only one game. But I haven't seen him play hardly at all. I'm just going on reports. Sure. And what I've been told. So, you know, that's been his MO kind of coming out of junior and trying to make the transition to the NHL game. You know, but we like what we saw the other day, and hopefully that's a good confidence booster for him, and he's able to build on it today in the last game of the season. And, you know, maybe give him something to think about moving forward. You know, if they're looking for that right wing, you know, they've been searching for it for a long time now. So, you know, all season. And so, you know, hey, leave a good taste in, you know, in the organization's mouth when they see you play your game here. And I'm most likely heading back to Providence to, you know, round out the season with them. They still have another week to go, another weekend to go. So, and they're in a playoff push themselves. So, hey, you know, good on him. Hopefully he can build on it today.
Ryan, just to finish up on Senishin, I think it'll be big for him that he's finally got a taste in the National.
I was thinking the same thing, Judd. Just giving him that taste so that he knows going into the offseason what it's really like to play at this level and what he needs to be prepared for if he wants to try and make that jump.
I can tell you it's immense. It's huge. It's a huge confidence boost for him. And the fact that, you know, he made a difference in the game the other day in the way that he played, you know, the fact that you got to bring that every night is a whole nother thing entirely. But it does help a guy that, you know, I haven't gotten the call up. I haven't gotten the call up. You see all these other guys get the call up. I haven't gotten that call up. Why am I not getting called up? And, you know, that's that goes a long way. But the fact that he came up and he played well, you know, and he wasn't just, you know, just another guy out there. He wanted to make a difference. That does do a lot for a guy's confidence. And then the other thing is some players come up and they're better players in the NHL than maybe they were in the American Hockey League and vice versa. Some guys that are major scorers down there come up here into the NHL and they can't figure it out and they can't play every day in the NHL. So there's a case to be made there as well. Maybe you come up and all of a sudden the light kind of goes off and you become a better player in the NHL than maybe you were in the American Hockey League.
And I think the organization, what they wanted to do was they did not want him to give him the call unless he deserved it. They felt like he deserved this opportunity based on the way he was playing recently in the American Hockey League.
All right, we can get to more of your calls coming up next. 617-779-0985. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Hockey Show, 617-779-0985 if you'd like to join us. Ryan Johnston over with over at the Garden. It's Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. Let's go back to the phones. We get Scott in Peterborough up first. Hey, Scott.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to say how good of a job Don Sweeney's done with not panicking at the trade deadline and sending some of these young players out for a what they consider was a better player, because a lot of times when you make that trade, it doesn't work out in your favor. And you can just see these young kids are playing good. They got a nice balanced roster now. And really, if Pastrnak and Bergeron played the same amount of games as Marchand, you might have had 300-point scores.
I appreciate the call, Scott.
Well, hey, Ryan, yeah, I wanted to bring that up actually before the call. And before we get to maybe, you know, what they did at the deadline, but the season that Marchand has had is really deserves a lot of credit for this thing. I mean, he's been outstanding this year. I mean, you know, Bergeron and Pastrnak have played 65 games apiece, and Marchand only missed the one game. Actually, he missed the other day as well. They sat him out as a healthy scratch. But so he's only missed the two games this season. He's got 100 points. He joined some pretty lofty company as far as Bruins who have gotten to the 100-point mark. And he's been able to do it with all the, you know, with the injuries around him. He's been able to maintain that pace. He's been very consistent all year long in what he's done. Yeah, there's going to be little dips and ups and downs and things like that that go on. But he has had, you know, an outstanding season this year. And he deserves a lot of credit for the way that he's been able to do it. Like I said, when, you know, Krejci goes into the middle, he doesn't miss a beat. Pastrnak goes down on the right side, Bergeron's back, they don't miss a beat. And, you know, he's been the constant this year when some of those injuries have taken place. I mean, Pastrnak and Bergeron played 65 games apiece, so it's not like they missed a lot of time, but, you know, 15 games is significant. So, you know, it's been fun to watch this season, what he's been able to do and how he's been able to take his game to a whole nother level.
You think there's no other team in the National Hockey League, by the way, Ryan, that has three players in the top eight in points per game. Marchand is fifth, Bergeron is seventh, Pastrnak is eighth. Go 1 point further with Pastrnak. He is third in goals per game. He's got 38 goals in 65 games. But the season that Brad Marchand has had, and remember, he is targeted every single game. He is playing matchup minutes. He is killing penalties. He's playing on the man advantage. It's been a remarkable season for him. And I think that he starts to understand the gravity of what he accomplished. And granted, there's a lot more that he wants to be able to accomplish. But it's the group he joins to be able to hit the century mark for how far he was able to come for a guy that was just trying to find his spot in the National Hockey League to become an elite player around the league. It's spectacular.
Do you think Marchie's got four penalty minutes in him today? Get to the 100-100?
I think we might just see it. just see it.
It is
Hey, ask the referee, give you a 10.
Absolutely.
We got to ask Dan O'Halloran.
Give me a 10.
Maybe Dan O'Halloran. That's what he was asking O'Halloran the other night in Columbus, and he didn't give it to him.
John is in Chelmsford. You're up next here with the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I'm here to not to bash Tuukka because I still don't trust him. I actually want this guy to do well because I want the Bruins to win the Cup. But if he plays like he did the other night against Columbus, where I don't know if you guys noticed this, he was up challenging the shooters, top of the crease. He wasn't deep in his net like he normally plays, and that's what I know he's having a bad. He's going to have a bad game, and he just challenged the shooters and was how he very rarely went down. And one more thing, do you find it interesting that Halak is he's played four games against Toronto. He was 3-1 against Toronto. And I believe Rask played one game, and I think he lost. I'm not sure, but I just find that kind of iffy. But I know he's going to be the goaltender, and I just hope he plays like he did the other night against Columbus, where he stayed up against the shooters and played very well. Thanks for taking my call, guys, and have a good day.
I appreciate the call, John. I mean, what John's talking about, you know, getting out and challenging and all that, I mean, that's a lot of to do with confidence, it oftentimes with a goalie, too. It's, you know, when they're feeling it, when they're feeling on their game, they're willing to, you know, willing to get out there and challenge the shooter a little bit more. I want to go back, though, because in the talk of Marchand, we lost the previous caller's question. I wanted to talk a little bit about the job that Don Sweeney did do this year. Coming out of last offseason, you know, there were questions as to, you know, who was going to be able to step up and fill certain roles, and the hope was, obviously, that they had guys in the organization that were going to be able to do that. Turned out that wasn't necessarily the case. They have been able to bring some guys in, though, that have provided them with some, you know, some good fill-in work. I mean, we were just talking about Carson Kuhlman earlier on in the show today. And then the moves that they did make in bringing in Coyle and Johansson, and some of this stuff is still to be determined, but it does feel like, as good a season as they've had along the way here, that some of those questions that we had going into the season, even if they haven't been entirely answered, we're at least closer to knowing that. And I feel better about both of those scenarios now that, you know, Don Sweeney did make a few tweaks at the deadline, that he did, you know, give some of these guys a little bit more time to develop, and they've been able to pay some dividends as the season has gone on.
Well, you pick up a guy like Charlie Coyle, and that was the biggest question mark for the Bruins. Who's going to center that line? You were hoping it was going to be Jacob Forsback at Carlson. Trent Frederick obviously took a turn. You auditioned a number of different guys in that spot. And ultimately, for the short term, the Bruins have Charlie Coyle there. And I say that because remember, where he plays this year may be different where he plays next year. Maybe Jack Studnicka is ready. Maybe Jacob Forsback at Carlson is ready. Maybe Trent Frederick rises to that occasion. And maybe you move Charlie Coyle to the wing. Maybe he's the right shot answer with David Krejci or a guy like Patrice Bergeron, and it changes the flux down there. But regardless, what he was able to do was, and it takes time. I think what is very hard for every general manager around the National Hockey League to do, and there's a lot of pressure that is coming from various directions, both internally and externally, is to maintain some patience. I think they patiently tried to find that answer. Because they drafted and developed well, they were able to take a prospect in Ryan Donato and trade him for a guy like Charlie Coyle, who has made that third line a usable piece for Bruce Cassidy.
It's kind of a fine line, though, right? I mean, if you're Don Sweeney and you know you want to be patient, but at the same time, you've got a really good team right now, and you've got, you know, your captain is 42, and your some of your core players are, you know, well into their 30s, and so there's a, you know, it's a real fine line that you're walking. It's like you want to be patient and give these guys an opportunity, but you also do have the opportunity to win right away.
That's, I mean, absolutely. I mean, and I think you kind of owe it to them, and that's to try to keep them together because of what they've accomplished so far. But you needed to add. There was no question that they needed to add in terms of balancing out. They searched for two things this year, the right wing and the third line center. And they've got their third line center now. I think the right wing's still a big question mark, though.
All right, we'll continue. We got another half hour to go. Billy Jaffe of Nesson will join us, and we'll talk about more about that Toronto series coming up this week. We'll talk about what else is going on around the league as we go into the final day of the regular season.
This is the Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, and Bob Beers on the home of the Bees, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub and the Sports Hub Hockey Show regular season finale for the Bruins and Lightning today over at the Garden. Playoffs coming up this week, Bruins and Toronto. We will get to all that as Billy Jaffe is going to be joining us over at the Garden along with Judd and Bob. I think, am I correct in that he is not quite there yet? We just got word from him. He was in the elevator a moment ago.
That is correct.
Okay. Let's grab a quick call before Billy gets here then. Kevin is in Melrose. Kevin, good morning. You're up on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Good morning. Just quickly, I want to bring up something I brought up last week. If the Bruins win today and Calgary loses, the Bruins will be number two in the league. And if by some chance they get to the finals, they'll be the home. They'll have the home ice advantage. And I know it's getting way ahead, and I don't mean to disrespect Tampa Bay and Washington and the Islanders and everybody else, but I'm just saying, long term, that's what I'm thinking about. Win today and let Calgary lose today.
Put yourself in the best position, right?
That's right.
You never know.
That's the whole idea, you know what I mean? We could call this a meaningless game. I understand today, you know, it means nothing. It's not going to have any effect whatsoever on what starts Thursday night. But just in case, let's have that little chip in the bank day. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
So, good luck.
Appreciate the call, Kevin. I like the optimism, though. Right? You always be prepared for what comes forward. So I don't know that's first and foremost on the Bruins' minds and all that. But if they get a win today, that could be a bonus to have down the road. Just quickly, guys, because I think we kind of mentioned it in passing earlier on in the show, but you see the other night, and we talked about, you know, this game today and the approach that these teams will take and, the hope that you just kind of get through it healthy. But the other night, what were you guys thinking when Kevin Miller goes crashing into the boards and gets helped off of the ice? I mean, it's like panic time all of a sudden. It's like,
not again.
Not now. Not again.
Yeah. Not again. That's, I mean, you know, we've seen Carlo late in the season, whether it was one game or two games to go, or last game of the season, I think a couple years ago with Ovechkin hitting him, go down injured, and you saw that, and it was the beginning of the period. It was clean ice, as soon as he went shoulder to shoulder. I think it was with Greenway, if I'm not mistaken. It doesn't matter. It was a clean play that just, two guys going shoulder to shoulder, and Miller ended up off balance and went into the boards. Unfortunately, nothing twisted around. He went in knees first, it looked like, and he came up flexing his leg and bruise, So he's expected to play today unless there's a change. I don't think, Bruce Cassidy hasn't spoken yet, but he was expected in the lineup here today.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the we've been talking about it throughout the course of the show today, the series coming up against Toronto this week as the Bruins get ready for, for another round with the Maple Leafs here. They started off last year. Going into that series, and we talked a little bit about the matchup and what it brings, I'm interested to talk a little bit about something that we saw last year that I think will, could potentially become a storyline again this year in this series, which is faceoffs. And Patrice Bergeron especially got tossed out of a ton of faceoffs last year, and the impact that has, because he's so good at it, and it's such a big part of him as a player and what he brings to the table. Mike Babcock is going to be chirping those officials again this year. Do we expect that's going to turn into an issue again in this series?
Ryan, hey, it's Billy. How are you?
What's up, Billy?
The elevator finally got off the local, and I'm up here. I think it's going to become a Babcock will work them, no question. And his staff will work them. But on the other hand, I believe that the Bruins will be better prepared, and they expect that it's going to happen. I think maybe one of the bigger issues for the Bruins is going to be they don't have lefties in the face-off circle without Corrali to begin with. So they got all righties. I mean, they can throw a lefty or two in there, but they're not what you would call strength as centermen there. So that, to me, could be a more pressing or relevant issue for this. Mike Babcock will come up with something different to gripe about, too. He will, or to pick on. He will. That's part of the coach's job. That's what he'll end up trying to do.
No, and what happens is, during a series, there's basically a supervisor, and there's a referee supervisor, and there's also a league supervisor. And after every game, they go and they talk to the teams. They talk to each team, and each team can air out their gripes. Now, whether they say that they're warranted or not, that's up to the supervisor. But if they are warranted, they relay those gripes or grievances to the referees that are in that night. They'll let them know that so and so is cheating on a faceoff. They'll let them know that guys are getting away with long line changes. They're being a little liberal, where maybe it's too many men on the ice. Hey, whatever the case is, the coaches will have a list of things after each game of things that they want the other team kept an eye on, and it's up to those supervisors to have those conversations with the referees if they feel that it's warranted.
All right, Billy, what's the latest doings in Toronto? What's going to be I had somebody earlier on Twitter ask me, what do you think the mood's like up in Toronto as the playoffs get ready to open?
They got rid of their backup goalie.
Yeah,
that's a start. Garrett Sparks didn't provide the spark that they were hoping for. He has not played well. What they did was they sent him down to the Toronto Marlies, but they're not even expecting him to be with the Marlies. It's working. He's actually, technically, they didn't send him. They did not put him on waivers. Right. They can't send him. Yeah. My bad. What they did is they're going to work with the Marlies goalie coach and the guy, the instructor who leads all the Toronto organization goaltenders. He's going to work with them for 10 days. But what they did was they called up Michael Hutchinson. The Bruins have seen him a couple of times. He's a silly sider, as I like to call it. He doesn't catch with the left hand, catches with the right. He's had a solid backup career in the National Hockey League at times. But he's been a depth goalie this year for him. They acquired him late December from Florida, if I remember correctly, for a mid-round pick. They're not blaming Garrett Sparks for them not getting home ice, but they are definitely not happy with his performance, especially the second half of the year. The rest of the mood in Toronto is okay, if not good. They get Jake Gardner back at the end of the season.
Wasn't good when Freddie Anderson got hit in the shoulder.
At practice, no. That had to have been a new gear type shot. Caught him in the right spot right there, too. But I heard right away, two, three guys jumped onto the ice, the trainers, to make sure they pulled him off. But he went back and finished practice. But they get Jake Gardner back. They got Dermott back a couple of games ago. You know, I think they understand that they have had defensive issues. They're going to try and outscore their defensive issues. They still have a swagger with their offense, so I think that the fans up there are saying, look, if we get hot, we know that we can beat anybody. The issue is we have to have some semblance of defensive structure, some, come playoff
time.
Well,
they're hanging their hat a lot on, okay, now our younger guys have been through this. Auston Matthews did not have a good playoff last year against the Bruins. Effectively shut him down. But he's a year older now, a year more experienced. You've got a guy like Tavares who brings some experience in that department and professionalism. And you know, you've got Nylander and a Marner. Marner was very good last year in the playoffs.
He was their best player.
Nylander was not. And Nylander's had a down and maybe now starting to inch his way up a little season. You know, where does he best fit? You know, so you've had some of these younger guys that they feel now have been able to take another step and a learning experience last year and a disappointment in losing in game seven, and now are another year further along in their development as well.
Every one of those players you mentioned, though, and I know you're not belittling their
There's
D group, but they're all
well.
Forwards, though.
Yeah.
But their D are still the same except for one guy, Jake Muzzin. And does he make that much of a difference? That's going to be, I think, a big question. They're still, the last couple of weeks, they're still playing Ron Hainsey with Morgan Rielly as their top pair. So now you've still got Ron Hainsey out there that, in theory, assuming all things being the same next Thursday, we'll be seeing an awful lot of the Bruins' top line. And I think that's a huge advantage for the Bruins. The right side D for the Toronto Maple Leafs, gentlemen, I still think is a weakness for them.
That was the same thing heading into the playoffs last year. The other thing, since you mentioned age and the Maple Leafs feel like some of their younger players, because they went through it, they're a year better. You also have to remember Patrick Marleau is another year older. He was a very effective player, I thought, in that series last year for the Maple Leafs against the Bruins. But this year, his game has started to take a step back. And other than a guy like Patrick Marleau and maybe Zach Hyman, who's going to get to the interior of the ice? Who's going to get to the front of the
Tavares plays middle of the ice.
He will.
He does. He scores a lot of his goals. I know what you're saying. He's not a puck hunter, though.
Like, but they don't have a lot of that presence.
Yeah. I'm with you, but they still scare me offensively. If they get rolling, they scare
should.
The heck out of me.
They should.
Yeah.
They've got an attack that can beat you. I mean, they've got three lines, even four lines. I mean, they've got some of the guys that complimentary guys who have had good seasons.
Johansson,
yeah. I mean,
or Johnson,
Johnson, Johnson.
I get my Joes.
Kapanen, you know, I mean, these guys, they can fly. They can fly. They got speed if you allow them to use it.
And Hyman's over 20 goals now this year.
We talked about checking. You know, how are you going to check them? How are you going to slow them down coming through the middle of the ice? How are you going to slow them down so they're not using all that speed coming up? And they've got some guys that can fly. There's no question. But where do you attack them? Where can you beat them? That's the obvious one. That's just in their defensive zone. You know, how are they in that defensive zone? How are they defending?
Make them turn, especially the right side guy. Make them turn. Have to get to the puck. Make them turn, RJ.
All right, Billy, let's talk a little bit about some of the other stuff around the league. And look, Carolina and Columbus are in. Montreal is out, as Maria pointed out this morning. Condolences to our friends north of the border. Montreal does not make it in. And then, you know, even the wild cards out west. Are there any of those teams that are just kind of, you know, getting in on the bubble that you think are a legitimate threat to any of the teams that they may see in the first round?
Well, Dallas has done pretty well lately on the road. I mean, can they make something happen? You know, can they, if Ben Bishop gets hot, he's injury prone, but, you know, he's out right now. They say he's going to be all right for the start of the playoffs. Does Mikko Rantanen come back? I didn't see his status. I know he didn't play yesterday for Columbus, Colorado. I'd like to see where they are. But I'm not sure about Colorado. I think Dallas could maybe do something. I mean, it looks like they're going to get, would it be Nashville, if Nashville wins the division?
Right.
That could be an interesting series. In the East, I don't know. I mean, Beersy, you and I talked about this last week on the phone. Columbus could be a team, I think, could wear you down. During the regular season, if it matters at all, Tampa, if they get Columbus, they've throttled them this year. They've done a number on them. Carolina is a good skating team, but I mean, to me, Columbus is the one team. I guess if they get on an emotional high and they are on one and having won last night a little bit, and then if they win tonight, they put themselves in a spot where they don't have to face Tampa. They get Washington. Could they have a rematch of last year and force them to at least go 6 or 7? I think so. I think that could happen.
How much do you think it means to the Hurricanes franchise just to get back into the playoffs this year?
Enormous. I mean, did see the way they celebrated, like they gave birth to a newborn. You know, they were crying and celebrating. It's been 10 years to the day since they had gotten into the playoffs. I do think it's great. I got to say, fellas, I don't know if you agree or not, best/worst trade of the year. Nino Niederreiter going from Minnesota for Victor Rask. I mean, that was – you want to talk about the impetus to – really finishing things or the first step in accelerating Carolina to where they are. It's a hell of a trade, and what a bad trade for Minnesota.
Well, I'll take it a step further. And at the beginning of the year, it looked like Calgary got the better of the trade, the big trade in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm wondering a little bit. I mean, I still think Calgary did great.
Yeah,
in the trade.
I think they both did well in this one.
Dougie Hamilton has 18 goals this season.
Yeah.
He had 17 last year. He's got 18 this year. I know he comes with some issues and whatever, but it's his performance on the ice is pretty strong, 18 goals. And Ferland is a guy that they kept. He's set to become an unrestricted free agent. He's kept, and he can be a valuable piece for them come playoff time. Now, the other part of that was Adam Fox, and I did find this funny the other day because you know where I'm going with it, right?
Yeah.
Their owner, Tom Dundon, said, well, we're looking to trade him because he's at Harvard and he's not coming out. And,
right.
And then Don Waddell came out the other day and said, no, we're still trying to sign him. So Don Waddell's the GM and Dundon's the owner, and Dundon's saying, no, we're going to trade him. And so he's the same guy that said we'll never draft a defenseman in the first round.
Yes, we need a sniper. That's what we need. You know, certainly that's been a lopsided
trade. Some funny things come out of his mind.
Since you mentioned Niederreiter, and I think that's one of the things that Don Waddell, Rick Dudley, one of the things that they have done well with that Carolina team. They had guys who could fly but couldn't get to the interior of the ice. Michael Ferland can do that. Niederreiter can do that. And obviously it's been wildly lopsided.
You know who else does it there?
Because Victor Rask has been a ghost in Minnesota.
Dude, he's off. He's a third, if not a fourth line now NHLer. You know who else has been really good down in Carolina lately? The kid, the 18, turning 19-year-old Svechnikov. He's a first-round pick from – he's real, and he plays interior hockey, too, and he's a big boy. So he's got to learn. Give him two years to mature. But, Ryan, back to your original question, it's huge for the franchise. They've been drawing big crowds the last month and a half down there. You know, sellouts. That's a big building. It's bigger than TD Garden. It's one of the things, I don't want to go on a tangent here, but you get some of these, we'll call them non-traditional hockey markets. You know what I mean. Just that they have these buildings that are bigger, harder to even fill than some of these buildings in traditional hockey markets, which I kind of chuckle about. But they've been doing it lately. It's a cool place when the team's playing well. They party in the parking lot. They tailgate. They get good barbecue going down there. So it's fun. I mean, look, it's a good story. I still don't believe in McElhaney and Mrazek over the long haul in a playoff series. But that's irrelevant. They made it, and that's your first part of your question.
Tampa obviously is, far and away the best team, during the course of the regular season. So we'll eliminate them from the equation here for a second. Among the other teams in the East, let's say, who's the other team that you wouldn't want to see on the other side?
Besides Boston,
It could be. But I mean,
I like Boston. I love the Bees. I think we understand that the major challenge that is facing them, having to play two of the top six teams. Top five, you know what I mean? Between Tampa and Toronto, two of the top five teams just to get out of the second round. Take them out of the equation. I still have this soft spot for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I do. And I sometimes catch myself and I say, Matt Murray he's impressed me, and then at other times he scares me. And I guess between Sid and Gino, who hasn't had a great year, but Gensel, who steps up, and I like what they've done. Can the McCanns and the Bukestads, continue to elevate themselves? I guess I'll go with them. I'm never going to look past Washington. I just believe that they've got the size and the grit and they have depth. But if I'm looking a little bit, I don't off the board, fellas, I'll just say Pittsburgh. I have a soft spot for them.
All right, Billy, we appreciate it. I assume you guys will be wall-to-wall coverage on Nesson throughout the course of the first round.
We will, yeah. We will be wall-to-wall. Our pregame and the 50-minute postgame, and even if a game is on NBC Sports, we'll be doing some pre and post. We don't have the schedule yet, but we keep hearing Thursday night is the night that seems to be that we'll start. Tampa, by the way, will be starting Wednesday. That is that's pretty much a foregone conclusion, too, because they have concerts at their building Thursday and Saturday.
Okay. Billy, appreciate the time as always. Judd, Bob, we'll be listening this afternoon for the regular season finale. Yeah. We'll talk to you all next week.
Sounds good.
That'll do it for this week's edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. We are back next Saturday. Playoffs will be underway. We'll look forward to that. And not only that, but we are going to be, believe it or not, taking the show out on the road next Saturday for a very special event that's happening in Marlboro, the Heroes Cup Hockey Tournament. The Sports Hub is proud to sponsor that. It's a weekend of hockey with first responders, and we're actually going to be doing the hockey show from there next Saturday morning. So come on out and be a part of that. It's, I think, a three-day event out at the New England Sports Center in Marlboro. You get more details on that throughout the course of the week. But we'll be there next Saturday morning. We'll talk to you then. Stick around for Gasper and Murray coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.